Good morning. Good morning. Good. There we are. There we are. There we are. I knew you could hear me, but I just like to hear myself. So that's why I did that. I'd walk by the nursery there. There's a room full of babies in there. And they said, oh no, we've had a lot more in there. You guys are, I love the fact that you're obeying the command to Adam and Eve to go forth and multiply, replenishing the earth. No, that is a blessing to see those little babies in there. They're going to grow up surrounded by people that love them and a family that will invest in them spiritually and educationally in all kinds of ways. So that's a blessing. It's a blessing to be here this morning. I'm blessed to see you all. If you're here for the first time, we just want to say welcome. We are glad you are here. We're in the middle of a series. It's a short book that we're studying, but we've taken a long time to walk through it. I feel like we've been in it all year long. And at this point in the year, we can say that and not get a chuckle because we're well into 2024. We've been in Colossians for the vast majority of that. Colossians is a book towards the end of the New Testament. It's a letter that Paul wrote to some Christians who were living in a certain part of the world, sort of Asia Minor area. He had never met them, but he had received word back from a guy named Epaphras who had been very invested in this little congregation, probably even part of the starting team for this church. And so Paul, who couldn't be there, heard about it and wrote an encouraging letter for them. And so we've been walking through this encouraging letter. We're going to dig into it a little bit. But before that, I want to set the stage by asking you if you've ever heard or used this phrase. Fake it till you make it. How many of you guys say, yep, I've used it? How many say, I love that phrase? How many say, I hate that phrase? We got one back there. Anyone else hate it? Hate that phrase? Hate that phrase. I get it. The idea is that you're just sort of faking confidence and competence long enough to get through whatever challenge that life is throwing at you, acting like you have it more together than you really do. And guys like Dave hate it because to them it seems to embody this idea of, well, you're being phony, or you're trying to cheat or lie your way to the top of the system. But guys like me like it because, I don't know, it's just a way to sort of process stuff that you can't avoid, but you feel like you're in way over your head. It's just a way to say, okay, we're going to do it. It may not be perfect, but we're just going to jump in and find our way through it. Because a lot of life is like that, isn't it? You really only learn how to do it by just jumping in and doing it. We've all found ourselves in places. We just have to figure it out along the way. So there's a lot about ministry, and maybe that's why I like this phrase. There's a lot about ministry that could qualify as sort of faking it till you make it. I've been on the opposite side of a hospital room door, and you just don't know what you're going to find on the other side when you walk through that door. And so you just put a smile on your face, and you pray as you're walking in, God, don't let me say something stupid. I remember the first counseling session I had. I didn't know it was a counseling session. A couple said, we want to talk to you about something. And my first thought is, oh, it's me. I've done something. Or the church has done something. They're leaving the church. And so I was all prepared, like, okay, I'll pray with them. I'll bless them and help them find the new place that God's calling them to. They come in and I realize, oh, no. They want, like, counseling. And I'm like, I am not prepared for counseling. I'm just like 3 days in on this job. And you pray and you just hope that God doesn't let you say something stupid. My first funeral, I did one last Friday. And it reminded me of the first funeral I did, where you just research everything and you get online and you figure out what all has been done in funerals, and you try to remember every funeral you've ever been part of and what they said and how they said it. And so you put together something and you just pray that God didn't let you say something stupid. A lot of my ministry experience is just praying that God doesn't let me say something stupid. You are all saying, God does not answer your prayers, Tim. But he does. You just don't know what I don't say. That's what. Have you ever felt like you're sort of faking it till you make it as a Christian? Where you show up at church, but you really don't want to be there. And you put a smile on your face. How you doing? Fine. Maybe the offering plate comes around and you put money in it, you're like, I don't want to give. I'm stressed about money and I don't want to give. And God loves a cheerful giver and I feel anything but cheerful right now. Maybe it's serving when you'd rather be out playing, doing something for yourself, but you're doing something for some other people. And if you are at all interested in really being serious about your Christian faith, you will bump up against these times where your public behavior, your public actions don't perfectly align with your inner feelings. And the devil can get in your head and go, well, you're just being a hypocrite. Anyone ever had that feeling or thought inside the back of your head? You're just being a hypocrite. That's why today's scripture really encourages me, because I've been there. We're found in Colossians 3 this morning. So if you want to get your Bibles and turn there, and I'll pray and we'll get started. Jesus, this morning, I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears to see and hear what the Holy Spirit wants us to notice and listen to. And then, Jesus, I pray that we would be obedient to follow where you lead us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in chapter 3. The last couple of chapters, Paul has been just talking about how the gospel is transforming our lives, our standing before God. We're in Christ. This is a new thing. We're no longer living in the old world where we're under the judgment of sin and death and God. We are now living in this new place where we're in Christ and we're enfolded into Christ. Everything is inside of him, and that means that we are not who we used to be. We are new creations, and we get to live now in the newness of life. He makes all things new. He does. And this is the scripture that points to this. Colossians leans into this idea of all things becoming new. So since we're in Christ, last week we talked about this. We set our mind on things above. Say it with me. We set our mind on things above, not on earthly things. So we put off the old nature. And Paul talked about some of that old nature stuff. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, anger, rage, malice, slander, lying. All of that is old man stuff. And we put that off. And we put on the new nature, the Christ in us nature. We're cultivating the new life that Christ has brought us into. So today, Paul's going to continue that theme that we are new creations in Christ. And it begins this way. He calls us God's chosen people. So can we just read Colossians 3, 12 through 17? Do we have that slide, guys? Let's pop that up and let's just read that together. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. So I love the first line here. Paul says, therefore, as God's chosen people. Have you ever thought about what it means for God to choose you and me? God does a lot of choosing. In the Old Testament, he chose the Jewish people to be a special people for himself. Remember, he chose Saul, the old Saul in the Old Testament, to be king. And then he rejected Saul because of Saul's disobedience, and he chose David to replace him. He chose Jesus to be the Messiah. Jesus chose the disciples, even though one of them would betray him. And here Paul says, you two were chosen by God. And no man comes to the Father unless they are chosen. So you are chosen. If you are in Christ, you are chosen. Now that word chosen comes from a Greek word, eklektos, which sort of sounds eclectic, but it actually means elected. That's where we get the word elected from. So we elect a mayor, we elect a president, we elect senators and congressmen. And if you're elected, in some circles, that is a point of pride. And I guess it should be a point of pride. You were elected. God chose you. You were elected. The church itself in Greek is called the ecclesia, the chosen ones. But the chosenness here is not just so you get a big corner office and a hefty salary. Yay, we're chosen. We're special. God loves us best, we might say. But the word here has as much to do with God's purpose and plan for us than it does for his little perks. God has a purpose, and he elects us to a position not just to enjoy the benefits of salvation, but we're elected to a purpose. So what is the purpose that we are chosen for? Peter 2, 9 through 12 says it this way. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. I tell you, my tie nearly burst off. Everyone like my tie today? I'm feeling very preacherish today. My buddy Eli wanted to wear a tie, and I said, if you wear a tie, I will wear a tie too. So today we're wearing ties. And I tell you, when I hear the word chosen, I get all puffed up in my chest. Hoo-hoo! Special possession of the Lord. But there's more to it than that, isn't there? The purpose is this, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You see the purpose? Our purpose is to declare in word, thought, and action the praises of our deliverer, Jesus. And Peter goes on to say, dear friends, then I urge you as foreigners and exiles in this new place that you're in the kingdom, in this new position you hold in Christ, you are no longer part of the old world. That's a foreign world to you now. You are exiled from that old world. I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. You see that? Him who called you out of darkness to declare the praises of him. It mirrors so well what Paul said. He said, like old clothes, you take off the old. And Peter says, abstain from sinful desires. And Paul says, you clothe yourself now in the new. Peter says, you live lives that glorify God. Live in such a way that you bring glory to God. Yay. That's what we're called to do. But yikes, also, isn't it? I mean, I don't do that. I fudge the truth. You all act like that's a surprise to you. I fudge the truth. Another way of saying that is I lie. I have thoughts that are not appropriate. Let's say that. I get angry and I say things I regret instantly, but then refuse to apologize for. Am I the only one in the room that does that stuff? Am I the only one? No. If you are like me, on my own, I am deeply unqualified to declare the praises of him who called me out of darkness into his glorious light. Thankfully, we are not on our own. We have the Holy Spirit. Peter goes on to say in 2 Peter 1, 3, says, his divine power, the power of the Holy Spirit, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. We may not, on our own, feel up to the task. We may feel like that we gotta fake it till we make it. But there's no need to do that, Paul says. There's no need to do that, Peter reminds us. God has placed in our spiritual closet, in our lives the Holy Spirit. And so we just go to the Holy Spirit and we say, Holy Spirit, I am feeling deeply uncompassionate right now. And the Holy Spirit says, come, come, let me take off the old uncompassionate robe and let me pull out of the Holy Spirit closet compassion. Clothe yourself with compassion. Here, I'll help. Hold your arm out. I'll slip it on. Hold your arm out. Here, let me button it up in the back. Feeling harsh and judgmental? Holy Spirit, I am feeling really mean today. Holy Spirit, hey, come to me. Come to me. Take off your arrogance and put on this kindness. It's got a couple of bows in the front. Let me tie those so it's really good. Feeling frustrated by people and situations, the Holy Spirit says, take off your human understanding and your human wisdom and put on patience, because God is doing something that you cannot see right now. Put on patience. And the Holy Spirit is clear, you cannot put on the new clothes over the old clothes. Someone said, it's a ministry of subtraction. When we take on the new identity in Christ, it is not adding something to the old. It is taking off the old so that we can put on the new. And there's tension right there. This is the place where sometimes we feel hypocritical. Letting go of the old and putting on the new is this place where it feels awkward, and it feels like we're not being completely honest because we feel one thing and we're being asked to act a different way. But that's not hypocritical. That is just learning to walk according to the Spirit. Are you with me? Our emotions will catch up with our actions. We know how this works, don't we? We don't want to do something. I don't want to go to that party. I rarely want to go to a party. You may think I like parties. I hate parties. I never want to go to your party. So when I say, sure, I'd love to go to your party, what I'm doing is putting on the new man and putting off the old. I never want to go to your party, but invariably when I go to your party, I leave going, I'm so glad I went to that party. That was amazing. And the same is true when we are living out the new thing that God's doing with us in the Spirit. We leave church glad we came. I'm so glad I went. I heard something. I learned something. I spoke to someone. Someone prayed with me. I got to pray with someone that I would not have been able to do if I'd been at home. I'm glad I came. We find ourselves blessed by our own generosity. I'm so glad I gave to that. Yeah, I had to go without coffee for a week, but Tim's now done it for a week, and it can be done, people. You can go without coffee for a week. I'm glad I gave. We serve and discover that we're thankful for the opportunity to do so. We leave feeding the guys down at the homeless shelter, just feeling good about the night and about what happened and the way God used us and the way God blessed us as he was using us. And we pray for our enemies, and what we discover is as we're praying for people that we just don't like, God imparts in us a supernatural love for these people. Very often, the old man lives in tension with the new, but that is not hypocrisy. That is just learning to lead and be led by and obey the Holy Spirit. When we cultivate sort of the God-honoring stuff, the new clothes, the new man, we are working out our salvation, Paul says. This is what it means to work it out. We are cultivating, like Adam cultivated the garden, we are cultivating the new life that God is creating in us. And the new life he's creating in us looks a lot like him. Did you notice that? The attributes that God wants to build in you are his attributes. So compassion, kindness, understanding, patience, all of those are attributes of God. He bore our sins, so we are told to bear with one another. He forgave you, and Jesus says, forgive. In the same way, forgive as you have been forgiven. And he loves you. Remember what Paul says, you're chosen, you're dearly loved. He loves you. You are dearly loved. So he says, you love others. When we receive the life of the Holy Spirit, when we receive the life of Christ through the Holy Spirit, that unites us with God so that His love now is demonstrated in us, and it can be demonstrated through us, and we will find it demonstrated all around us. And this gets me to what we talked about back with the guys earlier. This account at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, before He ascends into heaven, He has a conversation with Peter. And He tells Peter to do something. Does anyone know what He told Peter to do? He says, feed my sheep. Now, did He mean by that that Peter was to go down to Aldi and get a good deal on some bread and cheese and wine? That's what he meant. Aldi does have some good deals. It wasn't the material feeding of sheep. It wasn't going to get grain and straw. It was giving to the people that Peter was going to be in front of, giving them Jesus, feeding them Jesus. Jesus is saying to Peter, love others like I have loved you. Don't just talk about it. You need to live it. Because sheep are messy and they're dirty. They're awkward. Anyone know some awkward sheep? They're pushy. If you are new to Sherwood Oaks, Bedford, you will find messy, awkward, pushy, sometimes a little dirty sheep. Some have even gone astray. And Jesus says, feed them. Feed them, all of them. Love them. Because there's enough of God's love in you now that you are in Christ. You're not going to be depleted. There is never a depletion in God's love. It will never run out. And so if you are letting the Holy Spirit and God's love flow through you, it will never run out. You will always be able to love and feed the sheep that God puts in front of you. I can love them with the kind of love He loves with. So how does He love us? He loved us when we were very hard to love. That may have been you this morning at 9:30. Hard to love. But Romans says that God showed His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Messy, dirty, awkward, pushy. God loved us. Nothing, the scriptures say, can separate us from His love. Romans says this, we know this, some of us have memorized it. I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, if He's missed something, if He's left out something by mistake, He says, let nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from His love. And He's not embarrassed. I remember feeling awkward about telling people I love them. It's like, oh, I don't know how to say that. And I started saying it. And now I say it in awkward places, like the computer guy installs the modem. Hey, see you later. I love you. Like, okay, not quite. I mean, yes, I do love you through Christ. Get so comfortable saying I love you that you're a little bit, that you're no longer embarrassed by it. Say it. Say it a lot, because God is not embarrassed to express His love. Here's what Zephaniah says. You were reading it while I was talking. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He rejoices over you with gladness. Did you know that? Rod, He rejoices over you with gladness. Doug, He rejoices over you with gladness. If you feel like God is a little bit embarrassed or ticked off with you, that verse should stop you in your tracks. He rejoices over you with gladness. On your worst, smelly, stinky, pushy, awkward day, God rejoices over you with gladness, and He will quiet you by His love, and He will exult over you with loud singing. He loves you guys. All day long, He is surrounding you with these expressions of His love. Watch and listen, and you will see it and you will hear it. And He loves us with an eternal love. His love goes as far back as it goes as far forward. It is eternal. There is no point in the existence of God that he did not love you. And when did God not exist? Never. He has always existed. And so he has loved you. Jeremiah 31 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God absolutely loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his only son to die so that you might have this newness of life. Paul closes this section with this reminder. He says, so let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Did you catch all of that? There's a lot there. That would be a whole sermon series right there. But he says this, let the peace of Jesus permeate every relationship you have. Every relationship you have, the good ones and the bad ones. Every relationship should have the peace of Jesus permeating and flowing through it. He says, look for ways to just express your thankfulness and your gratitude. Alphonse Carr says this, some people are always grumbling because roses have thorns, but I am thankful that thorns have roses. Yeah? Be thankful that even in the thorny places, there's some beauty, there's some delight right there. Look for it. You'll see it. And then let your time together, the time that we share here, the times in your small groups, the times in your classes, let those times as you sing and pray and teach and encourage one another reflect God's goodness and God's graciousness. It says, don't worry. Don't worry. If you don't get it perfectly right, don't worry. Just do it in the name of Jesus with gratitude that he has called and chosen you to be part of this new thing he's doing. Amen. We're going to take communion here in just a few moments. But in this moment, we want to recognize that God chose us. Let's pray. Father, you chose us. You called us out of darkness. You called us to walk in this newness of life and newness of light so that we can live in a way that declares your praises to generations behind us and in generations ahead of us and to our generation. This time that you have appointed us to, this place that you have elected us to live in, we recognize that we're here not just to enjoy the perks, but to embrace the purpose. So as we take the bread and cup this morning, I pray that they would remind us that we're called to feed your sheep, to show compassion, to show kindness, to show humility and gentleness and patience. Help us to forgive as you have forgiven us and help us to love as you have loved us. Father, as we remember your love for us, we offer ourselves again to you. Bring us more fully into yourself so that your love can flow through us, in us, and around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Sherwood Oaks Christian Church. Did you know you can watch all of our video content, both current and past, on our YouTube channel? Visit youtube.com/Sherwood Oaks to watch messages, series, and complete worship services.